My name is Teddy O'Driscoll. I was born in 1935 and I was 11 and a half when the war ended. And up to that time, 12 years of age, I never saw a banana, an orange or a grapefruit or any type of tropical fruit till the war was over. I remember one summer's day, my mother and a group of neighbours were talking about the war. They were very concerned. My mother called me over and asked me to go to the corner shop and ask Michael O'Connor how the war was going in Europe. Michael had a radio. Not everyone did. I came back from Michael with the news that France had surrendered. The ladies were shocked. The war never reached our shores. Except for the bombing in the North Strand, but it affected us in many ways. There were severe rationings on the use of gas. The gas company controlled the flow to each house. From 7 a.m. each morning, we had a full flow until about 9 o'clock. Then it was turned off. It was turned on again about 12 until 2 p.m. The same thing occurred again from about 5 until 7 in the evening. Between these times there was no flow, but if you tried to light your gas, you would get a glimmer, a very low flame. This was strictly forbidden and very dangerous, but some people did it anyway. The glimmer would die back into the pipes and there was no pressure and cause an explosion. There were men employed by the gas company to call to each house to check if any was using the glimmer. They became known as glimmer men. The glimmer man could come into your house to check your gas ring for heat. You could be fined, or if you did it repeatedly, you could be cut off. People were very scared of the glimmer man. As soon as he visited a house, someone would go around the streets warning the neighbors that he was on the prowl. Women would take a damp cloth by the stove to cool the gas ring if they had been using the glimmer, so they could fool the glimmer man. The gas was severely restricted. Fuel was almost non-existent and cooking and heating water was very difficult. As the war went on, people became more resourceful and found other ways of managing. We made sawdust fires. Sawdust fire contained to a 5-gallon drum with 2 or 3 inch hole in the bottom placed on 2 house bricks. A pole was then set. A pole that would suit the diameter of the hole would be placed in the center of the drum. Lightly dampened sawdust would be packed tightly into the drum right to the top. The pole was then eased out slowly, leaving a hole in the sawdust from top to bottom. A newspaper would be lit, put underneath the drum. The sawdust would light quickly and burn with a steady, even flame. A grid or steel frame would be packed on top of the drum to hold pots, buckets, and other cooking utensils. In my young days, every family had a sawdust fire in their backyard and cooked on them. And that's the story.